Father God, we're just grateful to be gathered here today. You have appointed us to an impossible mission of representing Christ in the marketplace, and we don't know how to do that. We profoundly don't have the ability, even if we knew how. And so we're asking you today, Holy Spirit, to change our hearts to be like that of Christ, who didn't do anything except what he saw you doing. We're asking, Holy Spirit, for you to reach in and through our discussion here today and change us more like Christ. So that when we walk out of this meeting today, when we walk out of this conference, we're different people. We're transformed closer to the image of Christ. We are equipped and totally dependent on you to transform the marketplace for Jesus, one business leader at a time. We commit this meeting to you now. This is your meeting. Holy Spirit, you teach it. Change us through it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I profoundly hope to ruin your schedule today. I profoundly hope to change your thinking about your relationship with God. And God did this to me about 20 years ago, and I'm going to try to pass on the favor. Because it is only as we get serious in the relationship with him that he gets serious in the relationship with us. And so that's what we're going to explore today. And we might have time for questions. If we don't, there are handouts of these slides, and my email address is on it. And so if you end up with questions we don't get a chance to talk about today, please email me. We'll proceed. Okay, so let me ask you a really serious question here. Are you serious about your relationship with God? Are you? Or are you complacent? I'm amazed at how many of us in the Christian community are really complacent with the relationship with God. We don't take it seriously. We don't take it seriously at all. So I ask you that question this morning. I ask you to think about that. Pray about that. Don't just try to answer it now, but spend the next few days seeking an answer to that question. Are you coasting? Are you going deep? You know, when we come to salvation in Christ, all that did was provide the ability for relationship with God, but it did not provide the relationship. It enabled it. Without Christ's work on the cross, there's no ability to have an intimate relationship with God. God cannot put up with sin. He cannot abide it. And Christ solved the sin problem. So it's a starting point. It's the beginning, not the end. Jesus said, while you're going, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Jesus' objective was maturity. And that's what we're talking about today. Does God think you're serious in your relationship with him? It's an interesting question to ask him in your prayer time. Does he think you're serious? Because fundamentally, it doesn't matter whether we think we're serious or not. Question is, does he think we're serious in the relationship? And it profoundly makes a difference on how he can use us here. Profoundly makes a difference. It's all about relationship. Everything in the kingdom is about the relationship with God. That's why Christ came, to enable that relationship. And throughout eternity, we're building that relationship. One of the classes I teach, we spend a full quarter on heaven. And I've become convinced that the process of learning to walk with God that we are doing here continues on. That's why it's eternal life. That's how long it takes to get to know an infinite God. It's all about relationship. That's what Christ died for, is that relationship. Now, Mary Lee and I have been married 50 years last October. Amazing that she put up with me that long. It's very much a God thing, let me tell you. And our relationship does not function if we don't have time together. We have experimentally determined that truth. It does not function if we don't have time together. Well, let me tell you that your relationship with God doesn't function if you don't have time with Him. It's like any other relationship. It requires your time with Him for that relationship to function. And there is no shortcut. There is no shortcut. It takes substantial time with God to build that relationship. Substantial time. I encourage my students to read a biography or autobiography of a great man or woman of the faith every year. And for us in this community, I suggest Stanley Tam's book, God Owns My Business, R.G. Letourneau's book, Mover of Men and Mountains, and Bobby Mitchell's book, A Walk in the Marketplace. People that make a substantial impact on the kingdom, people that God uses, have a characteristic, a common characteristic of substantial time of prayer. Substantial time of prayer. That's what's required for an intimate relationship with God and for God to use us. And I tell my students the high point of the Christian life is the point where they surrender control to God. There are three transitions in the Christian life. The first is when we come to embrace Christ as our Savior. The second is when we release control of every area of our life to Christ. That's when life really begins. Because at that point, God can do anything through us He chooses without us squabbling with Him over it. That's when life really begins. And the third transition is death, and that's the least significant of the three. There's only a few things happen at death. We no longer have the ability to earn eternal rewards. There's some people we're not going to see again, and there's some people we will. That's about it. There's not much that happens there. The second one is the big one. Surrendering control of every area of our life to God, then He can do anything He chooses through us. But you can't get there if you've not built an intimate relationship with Him, because you won't trust Him enough to release control. Building that trust in Him is key. You get that through the Scriptures. Don't read the Scriptures to know the Scriptures. Treat the Bible as a window that you look through to know God. God is the subject of all of the Scriptures. The Scriptures are all about Him. The Scriptures tell us who He is, tell us what's valuable to Him, tell us how to build a relationship with Him. It's all in there. So when you study the Scripture, look through the Scripture to know God. And as you come to know Him, you will come to trust Him. As you come to understand His incredible, overwhelming love for us, you'll come to trust Him. And then as you release control of your life to Him, He'll come to trust you. Did you ever think about that? If you're going to do something substantial for the kingdom, if God's going to use you in a powerful way, He's got to trust you first. He's got to trust that when He does something significant through you, He gets the glory. You won't take it. He's got to trust you that you'll be obedient. When He tells you to do it this way, you won't go do it that way. You'll do it just what He said. There's a two-way trust thing here. There's an issue of our coming to trust Him, and out of that, He comes to trust us. It's really, really, really key, and it all comes back to this relationship. We cannot become powerful and significant in the kingdom without building a powerful and significant relationship with God. There is no shortcut. It's time. It takes time. It takes substantial time every day. How many of you heard of George Mueller? Okay, he's one of the biographies, autobiography, not He's one of the biographies you ought to read. His autobiography is right out of his prayer journal. I highly recommend it. But his brother also wrote a biography about him, George Mueller of Bristol. George Mueller, interesting guy, had an orphanage in the mid-1800s in England. The purpose of the orphanage was not to take care of the kids. That was not the purpose. The purpose of the orphanage was to demonstrate that God answers prayer. So if you went to George and you say, what does the orphanage need today? He would tell you God is sufficient. He would not tell you the need. But he would pray and seek for God to provide for that orphanage. And his pattern was 4 hours a day of prayer. If he had a really busy day with lots of meetings, then he would put additional time in prayer to prepare himself for those meetings. And by the time George died, 10,000 children had gone through that orphanage, and they had enough money coming in that they were supporting missions overseas. No missionary letters went out. He wouldn't tell you the need. He would just seek God. He told the story of sitting down to breakfast one day with all these kids, and there was no food, and there was no milk. And so they prayed. And before he finished the prayer, there was a knock at the door, and a bread wagon had stopped and said, we've got all this day-old bread. Do you think you can use it? They hardly got the bread in before a milk wagon broke down in front and said, this milk's going to spoil. Do you think you can use it? That kind of provision all the time. How did that happen? Because George went and asked the one who provides to provide. It's not complicated. Prayer is the key to the relationship. We have to read the scriptures. We need to continually be reading the scriptures every day. The relationship is built through prayer. So let me give you an outline of what that prayer might look like. The first step in our prayer time is to adore God for who he is. Now, this is not the time to thank him for what he's done. This is the time to praise him for who he is. Genesis 34, when Moses asked God, now show me your glory, and amazingly enough, God said, okay. It's the most audacious request in all the scripture. God walked in front of Moses and said 5 things about himself. He said that he is merciful. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. He's abounding in loving kindness and abounding in truth. And that word loving kindness is, we don't have enough English words to describe the depth of his love for us. So praise him for that. Praise him for who he is. That's the first step in our prayer time. The second step is confess sin. We need to keep our accounts short with him. Every day, confess sin. Go before him. We're taught in 1 John that sin falls in basically 3 categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And I find that helpful to use that as a checklist. I work well with checklists. Keeps me focused. And so I look at that first one, lust of the flesh. Are there things over the last few days that fall under that category that I've done? Lust of the eyes, pride of life. Where have I violated commandments? Search my heart and know me, O Lord. Confess sin. Keep your accounts really short with God. Then thank him for what he's done. Bruce Wilkinson suggested an exercise in his course, The Testing of Your Faith, which I highly recommend, by the way, to thank God for 10 things that he's specifically done in the last day or two. And I do that each morning. 10, because I got 10 fingers. I've had 12 fingers, it'd be 12. Because that helps me keep track. And so these are not just things. These are things God has specifically done. You can see his handprints on them. 10 things every day. Then ask him for what you need. Now, if you were a commanding officer of an army battalion, would you send your soldiers into the field without weapons, without supplies? No, they'd be silly. God is an amazing commanding officer, and he has assigned each of us tasks to do. We have things we need to accomplish. And so go ask him for what you need to get the job done. Part of surrendering control is giving God your business. If you've not done that, you need to, and you need to do it right away. Don't let Christmas come without giving God your business. It changes everything. It will be really hard. You'll need to have people praying for you, but get it done. It's really important. And then you can go to him and you can list everything you need to accomplish the work he has called you to do in managing his business. Do you suppose he'll provide for his business? Absolutely. Do you suppose he'll provide for your business? Not so much. The issue is all about glory. Who gets the glory? If it's his business, he gets the glory. If it's your business, you get the glory. He's not really interested in giving you glory. You'll get that through Christ, but not through your business. So give your business to him, and then go ask him for everything you need. And one of the things, really the theme verse for our company is James 1:5. If any lack wisdom, is to ask, be given without reproach. My son-in-law gave me a quote by Einstein that I've got in my office that really signifies our business. It says, if we knew what we were doing, it wouldn't be called research. We're a research and development company, so most of the time we don't know what we're doing. I told my partner we should take James 1:5 and put it above the door to the laboratory because we need that wisdom all the time, every day. So ask him. You got a decision coming up with your business? Well, if you've given the business to him, then go ask him, okay, we got this decision coming up. What do you want to do with your business? You have promised that you give me the wisdom. I'm asking for it. Bruce Wilkinson suggests there are 30,000 promises in Scripture. I tell my students, you need a dozen. Not just that you know, but that you passionately believe and so convinced they're true, you'll base your life on it. Like that one from James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, he's to ask, be given without reproach. You need something? Ask for it. And my God will provide all of your needs through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You want to know how to structure your business? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things be given to you. There's 30,000 promises like that, folks. You need to know some of those, and you need to use them. So when you go before God and you're asking him for things, pray his promise back to him. I'm asking you to give me wisdom on how to design this electrode for our machine, and you promised that you would give me that wisdom if I asked for it. And so I'm asking, pray the promises back to him. There's no more powerful mode of prayer than praying God's own word right back to him. ACTS, adore him for who he is, confess your sins, thank him for what he's done, and ask him for what you need. They're all important. If, for some reason, your prayer time got truncated at any point, it's been a good prayer time. But don't neglect the asking, because it is asking today that gives the praises tomorrow. See the cycle? Know God through the Scripture. Don't let a day go by without spending time in Scripture. Sometimes you'll kind of move rapidly through a chapter. Other times you'll plod almost word by word. I teach in with this Hispanic division in Mexico, and God has told me he doesn't want me teaching English anymore. And let me tell you, Spanish is really tough when you're 70 compared to when you're 30. And so pray for me on that. But I mean, my Bible study is in a bilingual Bible, and I read the scripture in Spanish and then check the words I don't know in English. It's been amazing how it slowed me down. You know, I've read Romans dozens of times, but I'm seeing things out of Romans that I hadn't seen before because I'm having to look at it in two different languages and go slowly. Both methods are good. Spend some time going slowly in the scriptures and spend time getting an overview of it. Get yourself a good concordance. When you see a word and you're not sure about it, look it up. It's helpful to study the Bible in two or three translations. I like Wiest's Expanded New Testament. Wiest was a Greek professor at Moody Bible Institute, and he uses as many words as necessary to bring out the depth of the Greek. And the Expanded New Testament is as thick as a full Bible, but I use that as my reference point when I don't understand, well, what does this really mean here? What is the subtlety? So I go to Wiest and look it up. Get yourself some tools like that. Become a scholar of the scriptures. And if you've been using one particular translation for a number of years, NIV or something, go to another one. Now, I'm right now using the Holman Standard Christian Bible, and I found it to be very accurate. And as an engineer, accuracy matters for me. Become a student of God through the scriptures. Get to know Him well. Get to know how He thinks, what's important to Him. Spend time in the scriptures. This passage out of John 15:5 is immensely and deeply challenging to me, and I hope it becomes deeply challenging to you. I tell my students this needs to be on their list of 5 of 12 passages. You see, we've all read this many times. Everybody in here has read John many times. But I'll bet we just skimmed right past it. And a few years ago, God brought me up short on this. Because you see, this is not just a nice devotional thought for today. Jesus is telling us this is how the kingdom works. Now catch that. This is how the kingdom works. Jesus is saying that unless we have the Holy Spirit representing Christ working through us, we can do nothing that matters for eternity. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to spend my life doing nothing. It just has no interest for me. I want the things I do to matter forever. And Jesus is telling us here, without the Holy Spirit doing the work through us, nothing we do matters. This passage will drive you to prayer. This passage will drive you to prayer. Because if I can do nothing that matters without Christ, then I need to spend time with Him every morning asking Him to do what matters through me. Absolutely. There's no middle ground. This is a huge passage. I encourage you to spend some time camping out on John 15, 1 through 8. Because Jesus is telling us this is how the kingdom works. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. What? Really? Yeah, really. Huge promises. He's telling us how the kingdom works. And this is one of the fundamentals. Without me, you can do nothing. Memorize this passage. Don't just memorize it. Become so convinced of the truth of it that it drives everything you do. Everything you do. So you need time with Him. Every day. Don't let a single day go by without substantial time with God. Don't miss. Treat it as an appointment. Don't miss the appointment. Always make that appointment with Him. Now, You can't fit that in your schedule. I'll tell you that now. And I know because I wasn't able to when God told me to get serious with him. So what I had to do was to take my schedule. We all have kind of a generic schedule. What I had to do was take my schedule and erase it. Put the time with God in the schedule and build everything else around it. And that worked. It's the only possible way I could make the change that God was telling me to make. And that worked and has continued to work. And so when somebody asked me, would you come and fill in for me in teaching this class at 6:30 in the morning? The answer is no. I won't do that. Because that puts too much pressure on my time with God. At 7:30, I'll do it. 6:30, no. Because that time with God is the most important time I spend all day. All the work I do at the office is simply an outflow of the work that was already done in prayer. Everything that I'm going to do that day has already been done in prayer. And the rest is just filling it out. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I don't want to spend all day at the office doing nothing. So that time of prayer matters. And the only way I was able to do it was to change my schedule, to erase my schedule, put the time with God in, and fit everything else around it. And that has worked. That has worked. There's really no other approach that I know of. Now, your time of prayer is not simply going before God and giving him your shopping list. You want to build a relationship. As you grow in your relationship with him, your time of prayer should become two-way communication. You should budget time to listen, to hear what he has to tell you. A group of us have been in Albuquerque, been meeting for, it's about 18 years now, where we meet once a month. Maybe every 3-4 months we'll have a meal beforehand. And at 7 o'clock, we just are quiet before God. We sit at his feet to hear what's on his heart. No audible praying. We're just listening. And then at 8:30, someone adjourns it, and then we share what we heard. It's amazing how often it's all the same theme going through. Because part of what Jesus came to do is to establish the communication line with God. His cell phone's never busy. Connection's always good. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me. So get to know God. Get to know Jesus. Build a relationship with him. Your prayer time is to build a relationship. That's why you start off adoring God for who he is. You're building the relationship. That's why you confess sin. You don't want any barriers to the relationship. That's why you praise him for what he did. Because Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so the Son may bring glory to the Father. So the purpose of answered prayer is for glory to come to the Father, and we need to be sure we do that. Build a relationship. Ask him for what you need. Ask him for what you need. My little 8-year-old grandson comes to me and he says, Grandpa, let's go get some ice cream. Okay? If it's okay with his mom, I'll go buy him ice cream. He has no idea how to drive the car. He has no money. By this time, he knows where the ice cream store is. So I'm going to provide for him what he cannot provide for himself. Does that sound like our relationship with God? He loves us more than I love Rand. And I love Rand a lot. So ask him for what you need. Build a relationship through that prayer time. You want to become so frequent in God's throne room that when you walk up to the door, the angel opens the door and say, Joyce, good to see you again. That's what you're looking for. That's the depth of relationship you want. Make your prayer time that way. And then an outcome of that is you're going to experience his power. This is a very interesting passage. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Now, I think in the evangelical Christian community, we think it's a matter of talk. Yes? But it's not. It's power. Several times in Scripture, God said, nothing's impossible for me. That's what Gabriel told Mary. Nothing's impossible for God. Does that sound like power? Moses complained to him, say, where are you going to get meat for all these people? And God said, has my arm been shortened? Moses, who are you talking to? And he brought in quail, a meter deep. That's a lot of quail. I like quail, but I don't know if I want that many quail. It's power. Don't lose that. Christianity is not a religion. It's not a bunch of rules that you've got to follow. It's a relationship. The relationship was enabled with Christ, and that's what our purpose on this earth and for all eternity is, to build a relationship with God. And that relationship is about power. Have you got a friend with brain cancer? Go ask God to heal him. Ask first, is it your intent to heal him? Just had a good friend of mine die Thursday from brain cancer. Suffering from it for 2 years. 2 years. Figured he'd be dead in a quarter. 3 months. 2 years. Caleb died Thursday. Grateful to be with God. Pray for his wife, Andy, who is struggling with that. Got another friend with brain cancer. I'm sensing God wants to heal him. It's important to know what he wants to do. I was once driving home from work, and I was praying for this friend of ours. And I said, Father, would you provide her a husband? He said, don't ask that for her. I hadn't asked him. He did not intend for her to be married, to be remarried. And he told me, don't pray that way. Should not be praying against what he wants to do. So ask him. He'll tell you. He's already promised he would. Got a cash flow problem with your business? If you don't, you will. I don't know how many crises we've been through with Tetra. So, you know the one who owns cattle on 1,000 hills, and price of beef is reasonable enough that he can make some out of that. So if you got a cash flow problem, go ask the one who's got the cash. You know, we are doing things in our company that have never been done before. So we are constantly go before him and saying, I have any idea what to do next? You know, what would you show us how to solve this problem? This is a serious problem. We don't know what to do. Or that power supply just quit. Would you show us how to fix that? Just ask. Just ask. We're taught that the Father wants to provide us all these things. What he doesn't want to do is to provide us the things so we worship the things. It's all relationship. He's after the relationship. Press into the relationship. Make sure that you're seeking him and his glory. Ask for what you need. He'll provide it. That power comes out of that prayer time. That's how that works. As you come, build a relationship with the one who's got the power, he'll use it to accomplish what he wants to do in your life. It's always helpful to ask, what do you want to do in this situation? I asked him about the friend that died Thursday night, and he said he's going to die. Okay? That's not a tragedy. He was young. He was not yet 40. It's not a tragedy. Caleb is really glad to be home. His wife is not so glad he's home. God has the right to do that, yes? We're taught in 2 Corinthians, in both chapter 6 and chapter 7, that we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. So if I've been bought with a price, does God have the right to determine how long I'm to stay here? Absolutely. Absolutely. Caleb's death was no tragedy. If he hadn't known Christ, that would be a tragedy. So, are you taking significant time in prayer and scripture to develop that relationship with God? And not that you're putting the time in, but that you can't get it done any sooner. You know, if your prayer time isn't taking you at least a half hour a day, you haven't even grasped yet that Christ bought you. And if you're starting to get serious in the relationship with God, you won't be able to get through your agenda of the meeting with God in an hour. You won't be able to do it. There'll be too much you need to talk to him about. Hudson Taylor, who formed China Inland Missions, had a problem with the Chinese coming to the mission station early in the morning, and he was not getting his time with God because he understood this absolutely. Most everybody that's made an impact for the kingdom of God has spent substantial time in prayer building the relationship. Hudson Taylor was no different, but he had a problem because the Chinese were coming to the mission station early. So he developed the pattern that he'd get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and have his time with God and then go back to bed, and that worked. Fruit? Today, there are roughly as many born-again believers in China as there are in the United States. Does that count as fruit from the work that Hudson Taylor did? I commend to you his book, The Spiritual Secrets of Hudson Taylor. The point is, he absolutely understood that his mission in China would fail without that time of prayer. Didn't matter how well organized he was, didn't matter how many Bible studies he had, unless he had the power of the Holy Spirit representing Christ, working through him and through his work, it would fail. And so he did whatever it took to have that time with God. And in his circumstance, it required getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to have the time with God when he had no interruptions. Jesus set the model for us. Jesus, his model was to get up early in the morning before dawn and go to a solitary place to pray. Why did he do that? Because he was showing us what a normal Christian life looks like. And that normal Christian life involves substantial time with God. The night before he chose the disciples, he was up all night praying. All night. Because he needed to absolutely understand what it was God wanted to do. And after that time with God, then he chose the 12. We need to do the same, folks. We need to develop the pattern of getting up early in the morning before dawn, going to a solitary place to pray. We need to build that into our lifestyle. Because that's where effectiveness comes for the kingdom. That's where God can reach through us and change this world for Christ. We cannot do it on our own. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." But he also told us through Paul, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." All things, no exceptions. Jesus modeled for us what the normal Christian life looks like. In John 14:12, he said, "And these things that I have been doing, you will do, and yet greater things than these, because I go to the Father." That every time I look at that verse, it blows me out of the saddle. He was modeling for us what the Christian life looks like. Is there anything that's impossible for God to do through us? No. He said so. He said there's nothing. So the problem is not on God's side. The problem's on our side. And that's why we need the time of prayer with him. Build a relationship so he can do anything through us he chooses to do. So let me encourage you, get serious in your prayer relationship with God. So how do you tell? How do you tell if you're serious? Here you ask the bird. Little bird that sits on your shoulder and he's deaf. He can't hear a word you say. But he watches what you do. Watches how you spend your time. He watches the checks you write to Christian ministries. He watches you gather your employees around to pray. Ask the bird, he knows. Because what you do is driven by what you believe. It's not driven by what you know. It's driven by what you believe. What you do is driven by what you believe. So ask the bird, because he'll watch what you do and he'll tell you what you believe. So let me encourage you, get serious in your relationship with God. That's where effectiveness comes from. That's where real life begins. Because then God can do through you anything he chooses, including transforming this world for Jesus. There's no limit to what God can do through a man or woman who is solely committed to him. No limit. Dwight Moody was a shoe salesman. And he heard a man named Varney say that. He had been to see Spurgeon speak, and it hit him. It was Spurgeon speaking. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through him. And Moody said, Varney said, any man. Well, that could be me. And so that shoe salesman became one of the major evangelists of our era, started Moody Bible Institute, just because he chose to accept the challenge. Okay, God, I'll get serious with you. Will you then work through me powerfully? And God did. So let me encourage you. God can do anything he chooses through a man or woman who's committed to him. Let me encourage you to do that. Renee, how much time do we have left? Are we? Okay, let me pray. I'm going to bend it just a little bit. Any questions? Okay, if you have some, shoot me an email. I write a devotional every 2 or 3 weeks for FCCI, and you should be getting it through your FCCI membership. If you're not, then shoot me an email, and I'll put you on my secondary list on that. So let me pray. Holy Spirit, we asked you to speak here today, and we asked you to not just give us more information, but to change us to be like Christ, who didn't do anything except what he saw the Father doing. That's what we want. We want to not do anything except what we see the Father doing. We ask that you will now take the work you've done in our lives here today, this morning, now send us out into a deeply hurting world that passionately needs to hear Christ and know Christ. I ask that we will leave here changed, that you will put such a hunger for the relationship with the Father in us that the little bird will be able to say, yeah, this man, this woman believes Christ, trusts Christ. It's building the relationship. May our time of prayer be so significant that you can do anything you choose through us. Transform all of us to look like Christ, to act like Christ, to behave like Christ, and to transform this world for Christ. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.